In the mid-1970s, I got my first foreclosure list, and I was very excited. They all came in an envelope, and there was about 50 sheets of paper. Some were trustee sales, and some were NODs, and I thought I was in the foreclosure business. It took me until about noon to figure out which ones to keep and which ones to toss away, and I kept most of them, about 40 out of the 50, and then I went out and door-knocked as many as I could until it got dark. Came back, and the next day I had another envelope full of them. By the end of 30 days, I was about 1,000 properties behind, and I quit the business. What we're about to cover is very important, because if you do not separate the good properties from the ones that have no potential, I'll give you 30 days, and you'll be out of the business too. So what we're going to do is tell you how to look at your list, and on pages 41 through 43, kind of give you a sequential look at how you eliminate properties and toss them and not worry about them anymore. So on the bottom of page 41, the first step is, what type of list are we looking at? You've got two processes that go on in foreclosure. The notice of default stage is 3 months long. That begins the foreclosure process. After 3 months, the next phase is the trustee sale, and that takes 21 days. Step number two, what type of property is in foreclosure? And here begins the elimination process. Let's say the type of property is a 40,000 square foot industrial building, and you're just wanting to buy a house. You don't need to go any farther with that. What if it's 40 acres of land in Desert Hot Springs? This is where you eliminate a lot of properties from the list. If it doesn't fit your criteria, then don't look at it any further. Step number three, where's the property located? So let's say it's the right product, it's a house, but it's in a distant city that you're not interested in. Again, that eliminates the property. And why this is so important is when you're in the foreclosure business, you're going to be contacting them kind of in a sequential manner. If you keep too many of these properties and put them in the barrel, let's say, you're now going to be mailing to them maybe 10 times during the course of the foreclosure process. You want to only mail to people that have the right product in the right location, okay? How long has the loan been placed on the property? Now, that's very important to determine their equity position. You can have the right product in the right location, but if you don't have any equity, it's pointless to mail to the people. How large is the existing loan? Maybe this home is a great home in a great location, but it happens to be a $2 million house, which is over what you really should be handling. That's important to eliminate that property as well. Is a loan a purchase money or a refinance? That's important because the laws are different. And so when you're talking to these people, let's say you're going to start talking to them about a short sale. That's fine if it's purchase money. It's not fine if it's refinance. Because if it's refinance money, then they end up with a 1099 that they have to declare, and the IRS gives them a bill. So basically, you have to know if it's purchase money or refinance. Next step is, what position is the trustee that's in foreclosure? Somebody in trouble could end up having three or four trustees. You have to know which one is in foreclosure. So if you have a fourth in foreclosure and there's three senior liens ahead of it, then it's kind of pointless to want to talk to the owner, because all of those loans are going to stay in place when you buy the property. So you have to understand what position the trustee is in. Who's the lender? Is the lender a private party? Sometimes when land is sold, the person that owned it carries back the paper like a bank. Those people can get motivated. They can discount their note, especially if they move out of state. So I'm always aware who the lender is. Is it an out-of-state bank? They're more motivated than the in-state bank and so forth. And finally, who is the borrower? Sometimes when you look at a property profile or a foreclosure notice, you'll see that it's in the name of a corporation or a trust or a partnership. These could be people that are not getting along. And it could be that they own multiple properties. And so that's why it's important to notice who owns it. Also, the person that borrowed the money, called the trustor, and the person that owns the property right now could be different. That would mean that somebody bought the property from the original borrower and maybe did not take that financing by assuming the loan. They did subject to. that person will sell you that property subject to, because they have no credit at stake. What we're now going to do is we're going to go over 25 examples, a complete day's worth of notices of default, and we're going to look at them very carefully, and we're going to go through the process we just discussed. So we toss out the ones that don't work, and we save the ones that have equity. Go to page 44 in your book, and I want you to get a sheet of paper, because I want you to make some columns. And we're going to go through this together. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to create columns. And you're going to have about 7 columns, so you need to make enough room for each one. We're going to do the notices of default first. I want the first page to be notices of default, so put that way at the top, NODs. We're going to have a column for loan date. If a junior trust deed is foreclosing, is another column. Another column will be first and second simultaneous. I want to know if the borrower borrowed first and second at the same time. Another column, did they end up getting a second after ownership? So not simultaneous. And then the next 3 columns kind of go together. Can we as buyer buy from the owner at a trustee sale or do a short sale? Okay, there'll be 3 of them together. Can we as a buyer buy directly from the owner, trustee sale, or do a short sale? One more time, I'll go through the whole list because it's important. So this is just dealing with the notices of default. The loan date, the loan was made. Is there a junior trust deed foreclosing? Did the borrower get a first and second simultaneously? Did they get a second after they became owner? And can we as buyer buy it directly from the owner, trustee sale, or create a short sale? Because basically that's what you're trying to do when you go through this list, is you're trying to say, okay, which of these ends up with a chance to make me a profit, and where is the most likely place for me to make money with this particular foreclosure? All right, let's take a look at page 44 and look at the first one, and I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on the first one or two because I want you to understand the elimination process, but I also want you to start filling in the blanks, so of the list we just made. The first thing I'm going to do when I look at this first one on page 44 is where the property is located. Corona is fine. It's close to me. What if it said Desert Center or Needles? Okay, something like that. I don't need to worry about what's in Needles. I'll pass. So you'll have places where you don't care to go. And so the goal is to eliminate this very quickly. Now, you're going to probably end up with an automated system that'll do that, but I want you to go through it today with me like this because I want to see, you won't maybe pick up some trends if you just automate it completely. So Corona is fine. Now I got to go to what it is. And its uses are, it's residential. It was built in 95. I'm on the top now. Hopefully everybody's following me along. It's room count is 4-2. It's probably a 4-bedroom, 2-bath. The next line down, it's 1,904 square feet. So the inventory seems to be fine. It's a reasonably new home. It's not a 1-bedroom condo. So there's inventory problems. So if I was in Corona and was a 1-bedroom condo, I'm done. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use the process of elimination to say I don't need to pay attention to that. And why is that important? What if you're going to do a mailing campaign to people in foreclosure? Wouldn't you rather refine this list down to the 5 that matter per day than mail to 50? You'll quit the business because it's too expensive to do it any other way. Okay, now we have a product that's okay. We have a city that's okay. Now let's go to the loan situation and see if it's okay. The peak of our market in California as a state is August of 05. We have yet to surpass our median price of August 05. So we've gone 10 months, and we've gone from 568 to 562. That's where our median price is. Now, you can have little pockets that differ, But I may not have the time to appraise all these properties, but I can use what I know about the direction of price to determine, is this worth looking at? All right, so let's take a look at their loan situation. They have a first of 406, and that little asterisk that's by it on the left is indicating that that is the loan that is going to sale. So the first is going to sale, and its original amount was 406. Take a look at the bottom, the second to the last line, and you'll see it says as of 5/16/2006, and then go one column over to the left and one up, it'll say a default amount. So the default amount for this $400,000 first was $14,000 as of 5/16. They also have $174,000 second, taken out the same date as their first trust deed. If the first trust deed wipes out the second, is there a recourse for that second trust deed? Not in this case, because it was purchase money. It's the same date. Had that second been later, that's a different problem. Okay? So you have to understand that. If the first goes to sale, okay, and the second gets wiped out, is there any problem with the IRS coming after these people for the amount of money that didn't get paid to the second? No, for the same reason. This is purchase money. There's no recourse from the IRS either. That's only on refi money. And even if refi money gets to the trustee sale and gets sold, the IRS has nothing they can do because that changes the nature of the arrangement legally. The only way a short sale can be pursued, the only way the IRS can pursue something is if someone takes a short sale on refi money, not even purchase money. So that's why when we get to the short sale end of it, you have to understand and ask the people what their loan is. Is this refi money? And have them understand that it may be very much in their benefit to deed you the property subject to as opposed to take a short sale. Because they're going to end up having a problem if they take a short sale on a refi. Okay, getting back to this one, we've got a first and a second, and the purchase date is 10/2005. Seems to be after the peak of price. The first is foreclosing. Is there any way that we can purchase this from an owner and make out? Not a chance. Probably behind on the second as well. Okay, so in your sheet, let's go fill out the information. The loan date's 10/05. Is a junior trustee foreclosing? No. First and second simultaneous? Yes. A junior lien after ownership? No. Can we buy from the owner? No. Can we buy a trustee sale? Well, that second is so big that if it doesn't protect, which it probably won't, is there maybe a big enough spread for a trustee sale? That if the first goes to sale, gets its 406 plus its 14 grand, and this property is still worth, I don't know, in the ballpark of the high fives, trust me, that'll be bought at a trustee sale. The second will get some payment, and the trustee sale will be sold to a third party, probably rather than revert to the lender. If the second protects it, then that's a different story, but he probably would be foreclosing on it instead of going to the sale with a big check of his own. So there's a chance that this might get purchased at a trustee sale. Does this property look like it has an opportunity to do a short sale? Yeah, you got a second that's got a lot of exposure. Questions are going to be hard, but I'll try to repeat it. Yes. The 83% is on the property value amount. Forget about whatever anybody loans. So if it's worth $1 million, 83% of that is 830. And that's too high of an example probably, but that's what they're paying for right now. And that is descending quickly because you could imagine getting that 83% purchase sight unseen. You now have to evict a tenant. You go inside and you go, wow, it needs carpet and paint and the market's lousy. And now by the time I go to sell it, I'm getting 3 or 5% less than I thought. And I've paid all these payments, and all of a sudden you can see where that percentage bought is going to start sliding down. But right now what I'm doing, I'm looking at this list through your eyes saying, do we do a mailing campaign to this person? No. There's no way you're going to buy this directly from the person unless you're going to do short sales. And that's why I want to go through this. When you get through this list with me, I think you'll see where the niches lie. Okay? If you pursue this property, you'll pursue every property on this list, because they're almost all like this. So if you're going to purchase the second at a discount, if that's the niche that you want, I don't even know that the owner needs to be involved in the process quite yet. Just go to the lender directly and basically tell them they ain't going to get a lot. They probably are aware because they've already gotten noticed, because the first that's foreclosing has to tell them. So that's probably not good news.
Bruce, I'm not real clear on how you said that the second might be able to protect the sale. Could you explain that more in terms of if I was an investor buying the second, how do I get the sale, or how does the actual second protect it?
Okay. If I'm in a position of $174,000 second and this foreclosure occurs, the only way I can protect it is go there with the bid in cash. So I just keep on bidding until I'm the winning bidder and I own the property so I don't get wiped out. Okay. Or the second could bring the first current and start the foreclosure on their own. They can do that as well. But it's gone so far that you'll see a lot of seconds are not protecting. They're just going to take whatever little bit they get, and that's the way it goes. So this is a kind of a common scenario. So that's number one. It's in the right city, it's the right inventory, but the loan tells me there's no room for me to do anything. Okay? Property number two. It's in Riverside, built in 97, 1,375 square feet, 3-bedroom, 3-bath. Everything's fine till I get to the loans. Okay, now let's take a look at the purchase date. We've got a purchase date of 2000. We have a first trust deed of 160 in 04, 225 in 05, December of 05, and a little $10,000 third that is foreclosing on the same day. So let's fill out that sheet again. The loan date that's foreclosing is 12/05. Is the junior trustee foreclosing? Yes. That's the only one that's foreclosing, yeah. Was there a first and a second simultaneous? Well, it's an interesting point. Don't count on these lists being accurate always. So in this particular case, I think in reality, because I'm trying to figure out if there's enough room to have almost $400,000 of financing on the property, I'm wondering if the first just didn't get reconveyed that we're looking at 160, and that you actually have a first and second obtained on 12/05. I have a feeling if you called up the information, that's what it would be. I could be wrong, but it sounds more likely to me than having the second be 225 and a third be 10. But at any rate, you have simultaneous junior and senior liens, if you will. The junior lien after ownership is yes. Okay, can we buy this one from an owner? Okay, how would you do that? See, I don't think you can. It's a little bit difficult to pass that on subject to, isn't it? I feel it probably would be a very difficult wrap to have if it has three loans, it has virtually no equity too. I'm trying to get you to see that we're going to have to eliminate a lot of these things. If you keep this one, once again, you'll keep everything on this list. This is only 1,300 and some square feet, and it's a 30-year-old house. In a downturn, this is not the cherry, easy-to-sell property either. So you have to be careful about that. It's a little bitty third foreclosing, and I have a feeling that they're going to probably be sorry they even protected their 10 grand. So for me, I would pass. Okay. I want it to be kind of clear, because this is important. If you guys keep too much of this list without any chance of making a profit, you'll be very busy, but you won't be profitable. Okay.
My question is: there's an asterisk, which is indicating that's foreclosing.
The third is foreclosing.
The third is foreclosing. So they're bringing about the foreclosure, not the first and second.
Correct. Yeah, the third has a right to protect themselves. They can't wipe out the first or the second. So when they get ownership, they're going to owe, if this is correct, they're going to owe payments on 160 grand and 225, which, if you think about it, it's kind of silly to have made the loan in the first place, but I'm not sure you want to keep on protecting your 10 grand with 3 or 4 grand a month. So that's why the junior lien business is a very dangerous one right now. As prices start descending, these loans will start being worth less and less and down to zero.
In fact, I have a comment on this one. I'm guessing the first has been reconveyed. That's the reason the 10,000 note holder is willing to spend $3,000 to foreclose the house.
Correct. I agree with you. I think the first that we're looking at, I'm talking about the 160. I don't think the 160 is there. Okay.
Can you expand on what you said about not doing a wrap on or subject to? You wouldn't do it if there's like more than one loan or more than two or something.
Well, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do a subject to in this particular case because there's so little room. I'm not completely afraid of multi loans, but every time you have a multi loan situation where it's subject to, you've increased your odds of somebody causing a problem, calling the loan due. So I'd really rather do it with just a first, if possible.
This is new for me, so tell me why the second lien holder foreclosed if it did go to sale and the price they got was less than the first, they get wiped out. Is that accurate?
No. If you're not foreclosing, you can't wipe anybody out. The third, which was recorded the same date but probably 1 minute after the second of 225, They can't wipe anybody out. All they can do is say, you know what, I'm not getting paid what I was told I was going to get paid. I loaned 10 grand and somebody was supposed to pay me $80 a month. They're not doing it. So by golly, I'm going to go chase my security, which is the property. And that's what they're doing. When they get the property, they still owe what is ever senior to them. Okay? So they can't wipe out anybody that's in first or second position. They can wipe out anybody that's in fourth or fifth, but they can't wipe. As a matter of fact, it's probably not even worth pursuing. That's what's interesting about this. Usually when you see a trustee like that, you look over at the beneficiary, and a lot of times it's a private party, as in their ex-best friend or something like that. That's very typical. Okay.
So they may be taking back a property that's not even worth.
That's correct. They're pursuing a property. It probably isn't going to get sold at trustee sale, and it'll revert to them, and then they're going to be in the same boat as the owner. That's why I told you, when you're in this business, you do not want to end up with the same position the owner is. You got to think that one through. So this third is, in essence, probably buying an over-encumbered property with a big payment. When he gets it, he's not going to be any more likely to be out of it than the owner was. Okay.
Can you explain or expand a little bit more why we're looking at a first and second and why it's important, whether or not it's a simultaneous or at the same time? You also mentioned the difference between refi money and purchase money.
Yes.
And can you expand upon that? I didn't understand that.
Okay. When I purchase a property, the financing that's used for that closing is under different laws than if I refinance it later. So the money that I've used to purchase it sort of is protected by law saying, you know what, we want everyone to have a right to own a house. And so if something goes wrong and the lender has to foreclose on it, there is no recourse for that lender other than the property. And that's why the change in the guidelines, they're worried about that is in fact true. The only place they can go chase their lost money is the house. What if the house is worth less than the loan amount? Then they're going to take a hit. Okay, when you refinance it, you change that law. Now the law is, well, if the lender wants to, they can take you to a judicial foreclosure, even in California. They don't have to go through the normal process. They can take you to court, get a judgment, and chase you around for the judgment. That's true. So that's why that's important, okay? I want you to realize how often people are getting simultaneous first and second, because what does that indicate? Generally, how much money do they likely have buying this property? Zippity-doo-dah. So the lender has got maximum exposure. I'm trying to show you by that, when you see this over and over and over again, you're going to see, wow, these lenders are really going to take a whipping. They really are. So for us to ask for a discount will be so common. They'll get used to it. They really will. They'll be happy you showed up. It hasn't been that way in the last year, but boy, is it going to really change. And that's why I wanted you to do that. Okay.
Bruce.
Yes.
Okay, let's say we're the investor and we lent this $10,000 out.
Yes.
Okay. Why wouldn't we want to go ahead and see if we could discount that note out, number one? Number two, why wouldn't we want to try to get some other possession that this person has and walk away from this whole transaction?
Okay, well, you've already decided. Let's say that you've already got this trust deed on the property. Do you have recourse in California law to anything other than this property? No. You should have thought of that before, because if you did, could you have simultaneously lien two properties? Yeah. Yes. Then you have recourse, oddly enough. Okay, but at any rate, when it's with this third in place, your only choice is go after the property, which this person is doing, and how you're going to come out whole is you're going to sell the property. And, you know, I wonder, maybe if David Lehrer had this third, he would chase it because properties will still be escalating in the future. I'm only saying that, I'm not saying that particularly to beat him up, but I'm saying that that mindset is still entrenched. Why would you make a third on this property if you didn't think that was true? I'm sure that was part of the thinking. You know, I'll back into the ownership of this property. That'll be great. Well, their dream has come true. What's a lien and not a loan? Okay, a lien could be something like the pool guy didn't get paid. And so they come back and they say, I didn't get paid. That can be a lien. A loan is usually you've willingly signed for something. A lien kind of shows up because you didn't do something you promised, something like that. You're probably going to get the hang of this quicker and quicker, but I want to end up going through this whole list. So we don't want to get hung up too much on one particular one. Third one, property in Riverside, built in 1968, 1,800 square feet. Everything's just fine. Let's write down the loan date, 5/05. Junior trustee foreclosing, no. First and second simultaneously, no. Junior lien after ownership? No. So there's only a first on this property, so there's no junior liens, simultaneous seconds. However, it was in May of 05. The purchase date was 12/04, and 5 months later they refied. So they've pulled out some dough. They made the loan recourse. So if you're looking at this list, does it look like we can pursue the owner directly for a purchase? Okay, if it's worth, let's say they financed it at 100%. Is that possible on a refi? It is probably. I thought they were doing 100% loans at least, judging from the faxes I get every day. Let's just assume, okay, that it's worth 330. Let's give it a tad of equity, 5% equity. They're back by $10,000. So you've got about a 317, 318 principal balance and they're behind $10,000. So if this property is worth 330 and they owe 328 and you have to come out of pocket with the 10 grand, do you want to do that? Okay, you don't want to do that. So you can't buy this from the owner. If it goes to trustee sale, is anybody going to buy it there? No. Could you do a short sale? Yes. Is this lender in trouble? Yes. A lender is in trouble anytime it's a foregone conclusion they're going to own the property when it goes to trustee sale. They're in trouble. They should be open to the idea of taking less because they're going to take a hit later. They just, maybe they're not acknowledging it yet, but it's an absolute certainty that this lender is going to take a hit. And what ends up happening is this avalanche starts occurring, and it's going to start from now until the next 4 years, where these properties are going to start being more and more over-encumbered, and it's going to be so obvious that these lenders are going to take back these properties that they probably will get very flexible on what they take in a short sale. And it's going to be very repetitive theme, as you'll see as we fill out the rest of this sheet. So there's not a whole lot you can do with that property either. All right, the next one, number four, we have a loan date of 5/05. We have no junior liens at all, so we have no foreclosing seconds, no simultaneous seconds, and no junior lien after. Property is in Corona, built in 1963, 2,453 square feet. This is a refi, okay. It's a refi, it's still, in other words, all the information we just gave is true as far as there's no juniors, the loan date is 05. What I'm searching for is equity. Does this house appear to have it? It's also, if you were going to buy this property, it's only $11,000 behind, but is a 1963 house the most likely candidate to sell quickly in a downturn? You know, you've got to try and get inventory that is where you really have pretty clean inventory. So this one isn't going to be able to be bought from the owner. Will it be bought at the trustee sale? No. Is it a candidate for a short sale? Yes. Number five. 5 of 05. It is the same date as the purchase date. So this is purchase money, first and second, with the first foreclosing. So the junior lien is not foreclosing. There was a simultaneous first and second. There was no junior lien after purchase. The date of the loan again is May 05, within a couple months of the peak. The first is foreclosing, $7,000 behind. Is this a candidate to buy from the owner? I don't think there's enough equity there for me to be interested in it at all. I've got to tell you, it'd be a tough sale, and it'd be such a small margin that I would not do that house. Is it going to get purchased at the trustee sale? Well, it's a first, again, foreclosing out a $74,000 second. Assuming that the house is worth $370,000, if you put 83% to that 370, is a really good chance it is going to get bought if the second doesn't protect. But in the meantime, is a lender going to take a hit in this trustee sale process? Yes. The second is going to take a big hit if they get anything at all. Is it a chance that the first and the second are the same lender? Yeah. So a lot of times we're talking about the same exact lender. They're foreclosing themselves out because the house isn't worth the total amount. Is this transaction a candidate for trustee sale? I'm sorry, for a short sale? Yes. Is that a repetitive theme so far? Yes. Okay. Number six. Loan date 705. Is there a theme developing on what loans are in default? Okay. Purchase date is a long time ago. It's definitely a refi. A recent refi in July of 05. House is in Moreno Valley, 1,400 square feet, built in 85, normal size lot. They're behind by $12,000. Okay, so there was no second. It was a refi. Can you buy this from the owner? If the peak of the market was August of 05 and they refied out at 7 of 05, no. Trustee sale? No. Short sale? Yes. You guys are getting the hang of it. Okay. Number seven? Well, and it's a fourth. That's a bad start for the foreclosure consultants, huh? That's a pretty nice loan. Maybe we should contact that company for our clients that want risky loans. They apparently make them, huh? Okay. You've got an interesting scenario here where you have four loans. You have a purchase date of 415. You have a first and a second simultaneously. Then you have a third. And then you have a fourth, all with different dates. If you look at the inventory, you've got a 1982 house that's 1,300 square feet that has managed to gather together about $330,000 worth of financing on a little lot. The $50,000 fourth is probably going to take a big hit, even if they take it to sale. Any chance you can buy this from the owner? Trustee sale? Short sale? It's a little hard to do a short sale in the sense that the other three loans probably add up to the value of the property. The fourth, I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe this is cross-collateralized with something that makes sense. That's a possibility. But this would just have no interest at all to me. Okay, number eight, top of page 46. Okay, we have a 2000 purchase. We have a refi. May of 05 seemed like a big month for refi, huh? And it's foreclosing, but we have a second that was obtained in 2006 behind it. So the junior lien is not foreclosing. There was no simultaneous second. but there was a second after ownership. It's only been 6 weeks since they got the second that the first is in foreclosure. I guess they didn't use the money to make it current, huh? Whoops. I thought I was going to make those payments current, but I decided not to. Maybe the first lender should have maybe thought that one out. I don't know, or the second lender. Okay, anyway, can we buy this directly from an owner, assuming that this house has perhaps been, they borrowed as much as it's possibly worth? I don't see a way to approach the owner. At the trustee sale, if and when it occurs, I could see interest because the first is going to wipe out a second. So the trustee sale guy might get a chance to buy it at a reasonable price, and once again, the second get wiped out. Here's the theme that starts emerging. There's almost no opportunity to buy at a trustee sale unless the second gets wiped out. There's almost no opportunity to talk to a person in foreclosure unless you're willing to do short sale business. Is that true? I mean, isn't that being the repetitive theme? So if you're going to not get in the short sale business, and we'll wait till later to make a judgment on that, because I'm into efficiency. What's the easiest way to deal with this mountain of foreclosures that's going to go up another multiple of 15 times by the time we're done? So what we're doing is going through 25 properties this morning. And on another day in the future, that will be 300 to 400 that day. And so can you see how important the elimination process is? You just have to know how to do it. Okay, property number 9. Second one down, Desert Hot Springs, 1973, 1,100 square feet. First and a second. The purchase date was the date of the first, so a refi second is what is foreclosing. So up on your list, you have the loan date at 4/05. You have a junior lien foreclosing. You do not have a simultaneous first and second. You do have a junior lien after. So likely you're going to buy this directly from the owner? No. Likely it's going to get sold at the trustee sale? No. Candidate for a short sale? Yes. Okay, number 10, Moreno Valley. 1991 house, 1,800 square feet, so all that's fine. Go to the loan. 2/05. Purchase date was 2/05. That's purchase money. No simultaneous second, but a $30,000 second that shows up 9 months later. First trustee is foreclosing. So 2/05, no junior lien foreclosing, no simultaneous first and second. There is a junior lien obtained after ownership. Going to buy this from the owner? No. Going to work at trustee sale? Probably not. Too small of a second. So it may or may not work at a sale. Depends on what this is exactly worth. Is it a candidate for a short sale? Yes. There's a good chance that the lender will take it back. If there's a chance the lender will take it back, there's a chance that the short sale might be able to be worked out. Last property on page 46. Loan amount is 270, and it was on 1/05, which is interesting. I think the purchase date was 12/05. The recording date was 1/3/05. Look over to the left, and that explains it, okay? You have a loan amount that precedes the purchase date. That means you have a subject to purchase. Take a look all the way to the left. The trustor and the owner are different people. So Jeanette Lozano was the original borrower on 1/3/05. This property was purchased subject to that deed of trust on 12/29/05 by Juan. Everybody follow that?
No.
Okay, go all the way to the right, see the date of the loan. 1/3/05. You've got a purchase date that's 11 months later, right? So if you go all the way to the left, it explains it. The trustor, which is the original borrower, Lozano, took out the loan in January of 05. The owner currently is Juan Melendez. And he took title of the property 122905 and apparently hasn't made payments very well since then. Yeah, that was a big help, wasn't it? Maybe he's rent skimming. I doubt, maybe he didn't move into the property. Maybe he just said, here, give me the deed. Or there's a course in that. Get the deed. This is how you get in trouble in foreclosure in California. Get the deed, don't make the payments, hurt people's credit, and let it go to sale while you collect rent. Do a few of those, and then you get to go to jail. So this is a good prototype not to do transaction. Okay? But this particular property, if you're going to buy it, you've got to talk to Juan. The one thing nice about it is he wouldn't mind you taking over subject too, would he? Not his name. So, once again, the loan is early in 05, but the back payments are $18,000. How long does it take to get $18,000 behind at 270 grand with today's interest rates? You got to work at that, right? About 9 months. It's probably too much. I don't want to come out of pocket with 20 grand to take over subject to a house that's 30 grand. Or 300 grand, because I'm thinking, okay, what's the max I'm going to get cash to the deal? That's too tight, and so I pass on this one. And if it goes to trustee sale, is it going to get bought? No. Is it possible a short sale could be worked out? Well, you have the right guy in the sense that you have the lender. You do have the lender. It's going to be real interesting mess. Yes, because you have to ask permission to talk to the lender from the original borrower who's no longer around. So, yeah, it's a little bit messy, but welcome to the foreclosure business. It's really messy. That's just the way it is. You're dealing with people that have problems, and then they try to pass it off on someone else, and this is the nature of the business. So we've only gone through 11 examples, so that's good. We'll eliminate a little bit more confusion as we go through. One of the statements is, How do we know what the property is worth? We don't necessarily have to appraise all of these properties to get a good sense that their equity position is too small. That's why I went to the point of telling you that the highest median price in California was August of 05. So if you have a loan that you took out in 3 of 05 and you're 5 months late, it'd be hard for me to see how I could squeeze myself into a profitable scenario and take over your loan. So that's why we're not necessarily having to appraise all the properties. We're just trying to give ourselves a reasonable value based on what we know in the marketplace. There's a question about what a short sale is, so let's talk about that. But we have a whole chapter, but that's later on. But since we're almost saying it every time here, I should mention what it is. How many people are familiar with what a short sale is? Let's first go there. All right, probably over half. And there's no reason for you to know what a short sale is if all you've been doing is buying in California for the last 8 years, because we haven't had very many of them. A short sale is where a lender participates in the loss in the property, kind of a partner in the loss preceding the trustee sale. Let's say I own a home, and this will be very common if you start running ads that you buy property or you have mailers going out. They respond and they say, okay, I owe $600,000 on a house that's worth $550,000. What can you do for me? Well, if short sale didn't exist, there wouldn't be a thing you could do. Is the lender going to take a loss on that property? Yes. Let's say the people are current and they decide, you know, this is silly, I'm not going to make the payments. So they don't make payments for 3 months, then the lender starts foreclosing. That takes 4 more months, then takes them a month to get them out. They're 8 months back in payments. Then they have to pay for the cost of eviction, fix the house, put it on a market that's slow, hold it for maybe another 5 months, and have the sale cost involved. You see how far behind the lender's going to be? So what if they decided that that was the scenario that was going to play out anyway, and you present them with the idea of, why don't we do this? Why don't you take X amount of dollars today and participate in a sale to where the seller ends up with nothing, you end up with less than you're owed, and I end up with the property? at a reasonable price. In essence, that's a short sale. Almost every example we've covered so far, the owner hasn't been a likely candidate to speak to because he's got no equity, but a repetitive theme is a short sale maybe would work. How many people do short sales on a regular basis? Let me see your hands. On a regular basis. There's a stack of papers that you're going to get from the lender. We'll talk about that later. But in other words, every time you do a short sale, you're committed to a month-long process going to involve paperwork from the owner, paperwork to the lender. You're going to have guidelines that they'll present you. Do you think you're going to have time to do anything other than short sales? So when you go down that road, it's what you're going to do. That's why we're going through this, so you can decide, oh, okay, if I am in the short sale business, I have to be all in, because it's going to represent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of potential deals, okay? Or you can also get a situation. I just talked to a very large agent in San Diego in the top 10. He has 80 listings. About 10% of those are short sale candidates for sure. Lenders don't want to hear about it. So just because a short sale is a good idea, makes perfect sense, doesn't mean the lender is going to see it that way, and they'll purposely foreclose on it and then find out the bad news later. Hopefully that'll clear up a little bit.
Yeah, I was wondering if more than one of these can be foreclosed at a time, more than one loan can be foreclosed at a time, and would they be listed separately, or would they have two asterisks on one page?
The answer is they would be listed separately, and you can on the times definitely have that. The foreclosure that I kind of helped out with last week, there was a first and a second foreclosing. The second offered an extension. Unfortunately, the extension went past when the first was foreclosing. So that was an interesting combination of good news, bad news. So yes, it'll show up on the list differently. Yes.
Due to the second loan in place and some of the examples you said, they wouldn't be sold at the trustee sale. What are the chances of that being sold at a trustee sale? You probably said not much, and it probably wouldn't be sold. Could you explain that a little
sure.
further?
Okay, let's say you've got a house, you've got all the equity pulled out via a second. The second takes it to trustee sale. If there's not a profit, then the lender is going to try, they're going to foreclose on the property, but they're not going to be successful at transferring the ownership. No one's going to bid on it. So now they own it. So if no one bids at the sale, they become the owner of the property, but they also have a problem. They have a payment on the first they have to make. They're responsible for property taxes, insuring the property, and maybe it's still occupied and so forth and so on. So that's not good news. That's why a short sale comes into play, is that, okay, now that you own it, what are you going to do with it? Okay, we're going to evict the people, we're going to kick them out, and so forth.
Yeah, I guess what I'm asking is, why wouldn't it be sold at the trustee sale? Why wouldn't anybody bid on it?
Because it has no equity, okay? I mean, these guys are bidding at these sales at 83% of value, which is a very tight margin anyway. As foreclosures start going back into the bank at earnest, this thing is going to get down to 70 cents on the dollar. So if you have a 30% equity position at a trustee sale, you may take it back too, because the people that have the money are going to say, well, hey, we're going to wait till the best deals. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see. When you're buying properties directly from owners, you can't load up on marginal deals and tough to sell times. You better have yourself a margin.
You talked about ideal inventory in a downturn. What do you define as ideal in terms of age, square footage, area, et cetera? Stuff that we should be looking at.
Okay, ideal age, we're covering some of it here. The age is newer stuff, 90 and newer. Stucco houses, good areas. It doesn't mean you can't have an older area like South Pasadena that doesn't have cherry inventory. But I'm just saying that when you have a tough sales market, you have to have everything going for you to sell the property. So you want nicer areas and nicer inventory. Rougher areas are just harder to retail.
Bruce, if you don't mind, I'd like to go up to the second one you did on page 44. I think a question came up about the third had no recourse, but didn't you say that the later loans that showed refinancing did have recourse?
Okay, I'll
maybe I misunderstood that. Okay. But there were some other things I had too that you're, to me, maybe everybody else is comfortable with it. It's going a little fast for me.
Well, that's why we're doing so many of them. So okay. I'd rather go through 25 than just sit here with two.
Okay.
So you'll catch on a little bit as we go on, because it's repetitive stuff. That's why you're going to do this sheet, and you're going to go, wow, that's interesting. It's almost all the same house.
Okay.
If a trust deed chooses, this third is choosing to foreclose, okay? Do you understand that? That's what that asterisk is. It's choosing to foreclose. If it's choosing to foreclose, it can't get recourse in California, period. It's choosing its direction. It's going after the equity. If it ends up with the equity and ends up with a loss, tough. Doesn't matter, refi, purchase money, if it pursues a trustee sale, it has no recourse, okay? Now, if the second pursued it and wiped the third out at 10 grand, well, then he's got some recourse. He just got wiped out at a trustee sale, but he wasn't the foreclosing lender. That's the difference, okay? So a foreclosing lender in California can't go after the owner. They've chosen the direction. They're going after the property unless they do a judicial foreclosure. Later chapter. Almost all foreclosures are not judicial foreclosures in California. They're this trustee sale process.
Going back to, like, say there's one loan on the property, it's been refinanced. It seems like you're just going by the date of the refi to see if there's any equity. And I'm thinking that there must be, I know people personally, they were kind of late to refi just for a better interest rate, and they didn't come anywhere near taking all their money out. So there must be some. I mean, I know if it's in my immediate area, I could tell just by looking, well, that's under market. But I'm wondering how much of the time should I really, if I don't know, I need to look up and make sure that even though it was refinanced in 2005, if there's any equity left in it.
Sure. I mean, that's the important part of knowing your area. I'm just going by the date of the loan, and sometimes people are refining and not pulling out any money, and their loan is a fairly decent loan to value. Okay. I didn't have the luxury of wanting to appraise 50 properties with you guys this morning, so you do have to know your area, and it's such an automated process to appraise it that you can determine that pretty quickly. Right now, all I'm doing is going through the scenario where I'm saying there are some properties of interest, but I'm going to show you which ones they are. They're few and far between. If you multiply that times the 100-day process approximately, 120-day process of foreclosure, you'll end up with hundreds of properties that make sense to work with, so you don't have to do something marginal. That's my point. Okay, let's get back to this list. We're on property number 12, which would be top of page 47. We have a purchase date in 04. We have a refi at 12 of 05 of $251,000. And just to touch a little bit upon what was talked about as far as when people refi, they may or may not pull out equity. If you look at the tax value of the property, you got a purchase of 2004, which ended up with a tax value of 2065, and now you've borrowed 251 on a first. To me, that looks like they've extracted equity. So this is a scenario that's pretty much showing me they don't have equity left, and there's a second of an unknown amount. So back up on our list, we have a trust deed taken out 12 of 05. Your list is now 12 properties long. What's every year the loan date? 05. That's why we're doing this. So you can see how repetitive and how quick the problem happens. These people that took these loans, were they in it for the long haul? There's no way. They got a 40-year low interest loan on it, and they're basically walking inside of, what, a year and a half? In other words, if this baby doesn't go up, what's the point? That's what this is telling me, that they're not interested in this ownership for a long period of time. If it wasn't profitable, they were taking a hike. So in this particular case, you don't have a junior foreclosing. You don't have a simultaneous first and second. You do have a junior lien after ownership. Can you buy this property from the owner? Is it likely that it's going to be bought at trustee sale? Is it a short sale candidate? Possibly, yes. Next one down. Now, this is a difficult property, so you may not even get past what it is. You're in Moreno Valley, you got a 1984 house, you got a 3,900 square foot lot, you got a 765 square foot property. This is a tough sale in a down market. So that might eliminate anything, eliminate my interest right there. But if we go further, let's take a look at the loan. It was purchased in 3/04, tax value of 158. They refied it at 175, simultaneously got a second at 14. The first is foreclosing, so by now you can fill in the blanks. And is that something we can buy from the owner? Going to buy it at trustee sale? Short sale candidate. Seemed like a repetitive theme, right? Does it look like the lenders are going to take back a lot of property? Yeah, they are. Next one in Moreno Valley on Rene Court. Loan date 10/05. Maybe they door knock the area, I don't know. Same date, pretty much. $240,000 loan, 10/05. The purchase was 10/10/02, so this is a refi. Small lot, 1,300 square foot house. So once again, past the peak of the market, they refied the property. Doesn't have a second. Does this appear that it has equity to deal with directly with the owner? Going to be bought at trustee sale? Possible short sale candidate? Yes. Last one on page 47, Chase Street, San Jacinto. Purchase date 5/05. First and second, the same date. And the second is foreclosing in this case, not the first. In this case, you've got foreclosing junior trustee, a first and second simultaneously, no junior lien after ownership. Can we buy it directly from the owner? Nope. Buy it at trustee sale? Probably not. Short sale? Yeah, it's a candidate, but may not, since it's having the second foreclose on it, may not be that motivated. Okay, page 48, top of the page. Loan date 7/05. Same date as the purchase date, first and a second. Loan taken out near the peak of the price. First is foreclosing. Can you buy this from the owner? No. Is it likely to go at the trustee sale? Yeah, it could. But if it happens, the second's going to take a big hit. Short sale candidate? Yes. Okay, next one down, number 17. Loan date 10/15/04, same date as the purchase date. A $31,000 loan was taken out after, about a year later, 12/22/05. Moreno Valley, it's a 79 house, 1,400 square feet. So you've got a junior lien after ownership, but you have the first foreclosing. Can you buy directly from the owner? Okay, let's take a look at that. Tax value $275,000. They're $7,000 behind. Tax value was at the end of 04. You've got a run-up in price at a maximum of 8 months, and then they borrowed equity on top of that. It might be a marginal deal. It's not the perfect inventory. I don't like the 79 date, the fact that it has a pool. There's just some things. In other words, in this market to sell in coming up, I'm going to be much more particular about the inventory that I get. And so, yeah, this is one of those things that if you could obtain a discount on the second, there might be a scenario where you do a short sale on the second and you make the loan current and you have a margin to sell. This one has a little bit of potential. It's the only one that got an X for me to just maybe pursue a comp for real on the property to see what it was, okay? But it's still not it's still not an exceptional equity position, and it's not an exceptionally easy property to sell. So it's kind of marginal. Okay, the next one down, 6/05, purchase date 6/05. is a big house, 3,400 square feet, but the loan is almost exactly with the peak of the market. The fact that it has a first and a second, probably all the equity is used up. So can you buy this from the owner directly? Is it likely to be purchased at a trustee sale? Same thing, if they discount the second, yes. Is it a short sale candidate? Yes. This is what you have to do every day with a list. So if you get the list, you've got to, this is something you need to do every day. You can automate it, but in the beginning, I don't think I would do that because there's a lot to learn by grinding through the process. We're now on the bottom of the page, 48. Loan taken out November of 2005. Purchase date was 1/05, so this is a refi. So the same scenario plays out. Can we buy it from the owner? No. Can we buy it at trustee sale? No. Short sale candidate? Yes. Okay, only a few more, and then we're gonna do some tallying, which should kind of be revealing. Top of page 49. Hey, what's that loan date? 03. Wow, amazing. With a big old second behind it on 8/5/05. And a purchase date of 6/2/04. The purchase date was 6/2/04 and the loan preceded that. And yet the owner is the same. And after they got ownership, they borrowed money. You know what? Sometimes you're not going to be able to figure it out just looking at the list. Sometimes you have to pull the documents and say, okay, what happened? And so that's exactly what happened. They may have transferred it to a trust. You know, you won't know until you pull all this up. So let's now just look at it from a point of view of what it means to us. Okay, so we have a first that's foreclosing, but it's got a second on it that came in after ownership was accomplished. Can we buy this property from the owner? No. If it goes to trustee sale, is there a chance that it could be bought? Yes, that second is going to take a big hit. So if they don't protect themselves, there's a good chance that might get purchased at the sale. Is this a short sale candidate? Yes. Next one down. Purchase date, February of 05. Two loans, 652 and 122, same date. First is foreclosing. Can you buy this from the owner? No. Will it get bought at trustee sale? Maybe. Is it a candidate for a short sale? Yes. Okay, number 22. Purchase date, 9/28/04. Same exact scenario, first and second simultaneously. Can't buy it from the owner. The only way is to buy it at the trustee sale, get a discount, or do a short sale. Bottom of the page. This was purchased in 12/04. Loan in place, 2/04. Could be a misprint, because it's the same owner. So again, the list makes mistakes. So if that's the date, if 2/20/04 is the date of the loan and it was 100% financing, can you approach the owner directly, you think? Probably not. If it goes to the sale, though, there might be room for a purchase. And once again, there's room for a short sale. Okay, the last two, number 24, purchase date 4/05. A first was taken out 2/2/05, and so was the second. And if you look to the left, once again, we have a different trustor and a different owner. So on 2/2/05, Alfredo took out the loan, and a little over 2 months later, sold the property to Mario. Looks like Mario might have accessed his equity a little bit. Hey, that's an American thing to do. It's funny, you never know what's going to get a laugh when you're a speaker, but I didn't expect that one. Mario needed some money, come on. Okay, 23 grand he borrowed in July, and now he's in foreclosure. So once again, can we approach the owner directly? Nope. At the sale, it might have a chance to have a spread, but the second is going to get a big hit, third will get wiped out. Short sale candidate? Yes. Last one. March of 06 is the purchase date. 9 of 04 are the first and second loans. Once again, the names are different. This is starting to get repetitive, isn't it? A little bit. It looks like investors may be stepping in to get the deed and not make payments. Is that possible? Looks like they made payments for a while in this case. No, it really doesn't, does it? Three of 06. No, he didn't make any payments. He couldn't have. So he's just putting himself in the position where he's trying to make a profit, and if it doesn't work out, oh well. So you don't want to be that type of investor, by the way. I really don't like investors that don't, when they close the escrow, they don't bring the loan current. That, to me, is part of your deal. If you've bought the person's property and they're behind, that's what you should do, or you shouldn't buy it, you know. Well, the only person that has credit at stake is the original borrower. I don't think Rodolfo assumed any loans, and so the only one that's at stake is the original borrower. So can we buy this from the owner, or did we already cover that? It's kind of a repetitive theme that we've been going over. So now let's take a look at what we have discovered. I want you on your own to do this. I want you to total out of the first column how many loans are from 05, 04, and 03. You should have come up with 20 05 loans, 4 04 loans, 1 03 loan. So 80% of the loans that are in foreclosure on this day are from year 05. Okay? If you go to the second column, how many junior trust deeds are there that are foreclosing? You have 4 out of 25. There's not 25 junior trust deeds, but on the properties that have trust deeds, only 4 are choosing to foreclose. Okay? If you go over to the next column, first and second simultaneous. And what did we say that meant? That was likely that they did not have a down payment? Remember what we talked about, the guidelines that are going to come down the pike? I said that represents about 50% of the people that buy property, then we should have about 50% of these 25 have that problem. And do we? Yeah, we have 13 simultaneous firsts and seconds and 12 that weren't. If that loan disappears, you don't make those 13 transactions. That's a big ramification to the California business. The next column over, junior lien borrowed against the property after the ownership took place. And why I wanted you to do this was we have 13 seconds that were simultaneously obtained. We have 5 seconds that were obtained after. So you got 13 plus 5 is 18 seconds, and you have 4 that are foreclosing on their own, 14 willingly getting wiped out. Is that good to know? Does it look like seconds are going to be protecting their position in the future? No. Whatever happens at the sale, that's the way it goes. So it's possible to discount the second to maybe almost zero. Now, if it's zero, what's their interest in cooperating at all? It's very little. But you could have a position where the second would get virtually nothing but something just to keep them in the game, and then even go after the first in a short sale because the equity still was not so great. But you want to be real careful about buying seconds. Can we as buyer approach the owner? How many out of 25 were we likely to do that? Maybe a half? Now, does that discourage you? How many people are discouraged? Really, honestly, you know, you look at your list and you think it's all this potential and now, That would have discouraged me, you know, if I wasn't aware that was a smart thing to do, was make sure that all this stuff had potential. So literally this whole day's list, you don't necessarily have to do a mailing campaign to the owners. Because if they said yes, what would you have? Nothing you wanted. So you get to save your time for today. Now tomorrow, you'll get a new list. maybe really good stuff will be on that list, or maybe it'll start replaying itself. Okay? That's what these 2 days are about, is painting you a picture of what's going to occur and where you want to enter the fray in the foreclosure business. Okay? At the end of the day, we'll draw some conclusions, and I have a feeling we're going to mention buying system number one. Everybody know what that is? It's where we deal with this big pile after the lender takes it back, discounts it by putting it in the MLS the first day. Does that appear to be the lazy man's way to back end into the foreclosure business? Yeah, sometimes during the cycle, you'll find that that might work the best. At the trustee sale, we had maybe a chance 15 times out of 25. As long as the second didn't protect their position. There were 10 no's, there were 15 yeses. But if the second protects their position, we were 0 for 25. What that tells me is that in every one of those cases, the lender is going to lose money every time. So for this day, the notice of default, it's already written in writing on the wall to me, every lender is going to take a hit. That's why the last column, short sale. Does a short sale work? In almost 100% of the cases, a short sale would be an appropriate suggestion to the lender. So they're either going to take the loss before the transaction, or during a transaction, or at the trustee sale, or ultimately when they list the property, but they are going to start taking hits. And in the beginning, they're stubborn. They think things are good, so they're not interested in short sales, but they gradually get really interested once they start getting these properties back and they start taking $50,000 hits left and right. We'll take just a couple of examples using trustee sales. If you turn to page 51, the first list that we just covered was all of the NODs that came out on that one particular day. So let's see, these are the trustee sales. So now we're within 21 days of the property going to the courthouse steps. Property number one, we have a loan date, 12/30/04 for both. So you got a second that's about to be wiped out by a first. On the very bottom, now this notice is different. It doesn't show how far they're behind. It shows what the opening bid is. So right in the middle, second to the bottom, you'll see that the amount of the bid is $251,000. Once again, could you approach this owner to buy this property? No, it's doubtful that there's enough equity there. If it goes to sale and it's wiping out the second, it's possible that there may be enough equity to buy it at the trustee sale. But that's it. And is it a candidate for short sale? Yes. Take a look at number two. And let's just look at this scenario. We've got a Moreno Valley house, 2,400 square feet, built in 87 on a normal size lot, a 1003 trust deed, an approximate bid of 270. Have we finally found one? Yes, we have found one. We have found somebody that's managed to not borrow on a second position for nearly 2.5 years. That's pretty remarkable in and of itself. You've also had this person avoid a solution all the way until now. And so this trustee sale is getting pretty close. It's already happened. Yeah, we don't know what happened. You can call up and find out. But this is what we've just gone through this whole list to find, is this one thing. If we're going to approach the owner, it's going to be approaching this person out of all the ones that we've seen. This is what you save all your effort for, is something that makes sense. If you're going to do the short sales, then you're going to be a very busy person and you're probably going to load up with a lot of staff. If you're going to work on your own and chase the foreclosure business buying subject to, then this is the type of property that you want. Something that's sort of newer, it's not that old, and it's got room enough for you to make a margin of profit. So that's why we went all the way to this point, was for you to see at least one that made sense. Now, on your own, you can go through the whole process like we did with the notice of defaults. But let me just share with you the totals that come out of if when you do all 25, sorry, notice the trustee sales. If you do all 25 of the trustee sales and make that chart, this is what you'll find. And again, this is on the same day as the notice of defaults. So these were all on the same day. The first 25 was notice of defaults, the next 25 trustee sales. Out of the trustee sales, there were 17 2005 loans, 5 2004 loans, 2 03 loans, and 1 02 loan. So that made up the 25 loans. The foreclosing trustee was a junior trustee 4 times out of 25. The borrower borrowed simultaneously on a first and a second 15 out of 25 times. They borrowed a second 2 times after they obtained ownership. So you had 15 seconds simultaneous, 2 seconds afterward, you had 17 seconds and 4 protected. So less than a quarter of them protected their position by foreclosing on themselves, on the house themselves. In this particular list, the trustee sales, you could have approached 3 owners that had sufficient equity. 22 did not. So when you combine the 50 properties for that day, you had 3 that made sense to pursue. At the trustee sale, there were 16 that might make sense, 9 that did not. But if the second protected their interest, only 3 made sense. A short sale was likely 21 times out of 25. So when you combine both the NOD list and the trustee sale list, short sale would have been appropriate 45 times out of 50. A 90% batting average, if you're a lender, that you should consider taking a short sale. I wanted you to see what those trends were, because this is going to be pretty repetitive. You're going to look at a list that has declining equity, where less and less of them are going to make sense to talk to the owner directly, and trustee sales will make sense only if the second start walking away from their position. And a short sale is going to be possible almost all of the time, or should be possible. Doesn't mean the lender is going to cooperate with it again. It means that you know that that lender is going to take a loss every time they get an REO. And that's where the discounts start to occur. If these lenders start taking hits on these properties left and right, they start putting them in the MLS at discounted prices. That affects the whole mood of the market and what we end up getting in retail. And so it's just very important to understand that this is what's going on. If you had looked at this list a year ago, it would be completely different. A lot more equity would be there. Since we've peaked in price now for about a year, this is where the problems start, that you're declining in value and you've got these adjustable loans coming due with a big position of payment that they're not going to be able to make. And that's going to create a lot of opportunity when the lenders take back these properties and are forced to discount them to get them sold.